One of the songs that's very familiar at the time of Christmas is a song that's called It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Everybody remember that song? It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. That's a really great Christmas song, in part because it's one of the few Christmas songs that actually talks about marshmallows and roasting marshmallows. And that goes a long way with me. But that word, that song also has, that made you frown, Kim. Don't you like marshmallows? The spiritual part of the message comes later. But it's also just a good song because it's a song that incorporates something that is a popular phrase that really comes out this time of the year during Christmas. And that is, be of good cheer. Now, if you remember 2 weeks ago when I was talking about breakthrough, I actually highlighted a portion of the verse, John chapter 16, verse number 33, because that verse talks about good cheer, and I'll show you this. I'll show you that up here. What I really want to focus on this morning is the expression good cheer. The expression good cheer really leads us. It takes us emotionally, and by the word itself, it takes us to the birth of Jesus Christ and our Savior. There's a lot of ties to it. When we sing the songs of Christmas, and we sing songs of good cheer, and that cheer, and the good cheer that is talked about in John chapter 16, verse number 33, that good cheer is reminiscent. That word that we see for good cheer, it's reminiscent of the word joy and the joy that was expressed by the angel for the shepherds that were in the field on the night of Jesus' birth. It's very similar to the joy and the rejoicing that the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary when he was announcing the coming birth of Jesus Christ and her favor with the Lord. It is a joy that is tied. It's a joy and a gladness that is tied to the same joy and the gladness that the wise men had when they saw for that second time the star. It's a joy that they expressed. It's similar to the joy that caused John to leap in the womb of Elizabeth when Mary came, and Mary, with the child Jesus, spoke her words of greeting. There's a direct tie between the good cheer and the joy that we see in the birth of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about good cheer this morning, but it's going to lead us into that joy of Jesus Christ that we're going to celebrate, the joy of the birth of Jesus that we're going to celebrate next year. So there's a lot that we can learn about good cheer just from those four words, be of good cheer. And as we learn about good cheer, it prepares our hearts to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, in the largest sense, we all understand what it is to be of good cheer. We know that inside of us, good cheer should pour out from within us because Jesus himself dwells within us. Our good cheer should convey the joy of Jesus Christ to the world that is around us. You know, my father, if you ask any of my siblings or any family members or people that just knew him well, my father was known by those who knew him for one thing above all else. It was his heartfelt and ever-present greeting of cheers. I can't say it like he did. But my dad, from the time I was a child, I remember that was my dad's greeting. When he saw someone, he spoke to someone, he just said, cheers. Didn't matter the time of the year. Cheers. I can't say it like he did because when he said it, literally, there would be a twinkle that just came across his face. And there was a warmth that was in his voice when he said that, whether it was on the phone or in person. His simple greetings of cheers conveyed, it spoke his encouragement. It stirred joy inside of you. And to a large degree, that is exactly what we see Jesus doing. That's exactly what he is expressing on the numerous occasions that we see Jesus saying, be of good cheer. It's what he was saying and suggesting that we be. We are to walk in his good cheer. We're supposed to be stirring up that joy of Jesus Christ, that gladness that resides in us, because his very spirit resides inside of us. So because we see that phrase, be of good cheer, because we see that spoken multiple times throughout the New Testament, that should cause us to ask ourselves, what is it that we are being taught with that continual reminder? What are we being taught? What are we supposed to learn with each reminder to be of good cheer? Well, to really start to answer that question. Let's go back and look at John chapter 16, verse number 33 again. But this time, let's look at it like we did 2 weeks ago from the Amplified Bible. So John 16, verse number 33. It says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So as we saw 2 weeks ago, really, to be of good cheer means more than just putting on a good face for the world. It means to take His courage so that we can operate in unwavering faith and take possession of the promises that He has already prepared for us, because He has conquered the world for us. He's deprived it of its power to harm us in any way. Now, another time that we see Jesus teaching on this principle of good cheer, we see it as He is commanding His disciples to be of good cheer when Jesus is walking on the water towards them after they have called out in fear. So we look at that again. We saw it 2 weeks ago, but I want you to see it again. This is from Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 26 and 27. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." In those troubled times, when fear and uncertainty threaten to overwhelm us, Jesus is teaching us two benefits that result from our decision, from our choice. And it's a choice. These are two benefits that result from our choice to be of good cheer. First, even though we all at times feel like we're alone, oftentimes we feel like, "Jesus, where are you?" Here's the first benefit that we get. Here's the first thing that we learn. Jesus is always right with us. He is dwelling within us. If you want to feel the calm assurance of the presence of Jesus in your life, especially in those times when you feel like you're alone, if you want to feel that calm assurance of His presence, choose to be of good cheer. When we operate in good cheer, when we live our lives in the good cheer of Jesus Christ, it heightens our spiritual awareness. And so we're more sensitive to the things of the spiritual realm, and we are more sensitive and thus aware of His presence with us. Here's the second thing. Jesus lifts us up. He Himself lifts us up. When we are sinking in the things of this world, He lifts us up and Jesus carries us and takes us to a place of safety and deliverance, just as He did with Peter. Be of good cheer in the face of the things of the world, and you will constantly realize these two promises, the nearness of Jesus and His deliverance. Be of good cheer, and you will constantly realize those things, because it is a daily decision. It's a daily choice to be of good cheer, regardless of the circumstances. Now, let's look at that second verse, verse number 27. Look at that again. But again, I want you to look at this from the Amplified Bible. So Matthew 14, verse 27. But instantly He spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, I am. Stop being afraid." In verse number 27, where we have read and seen before the phrase, "be of good cheer," in the Amplified Bible, it reads, "take courage." Jesus has already invested His courage in you, the same way that we were talking about His faith. His faith is in us. He's invested His courage inside of us in the Holy Spirit already. To be of good cheer is to be aware. It is to know what we have inside of us. In that knowing, we then take that courage and we take and we possess all of the promises, all of the good things that He has already readied for us. Be of good cheer. We see Jesus give this command again to the woman that had the issue of blood. He commanded her to be of good cheer. And as we saw 2 weeks ago, he commanded her to have good cheer even after. The command to be of good cheer was after she was already healed. So what Jesus was instructing her to do, he was telling her, he was making sure that she entered into that place of his peace, where Satan could no longer steal his promises from her. Now again, I want to read that twice. We're going to read it, first of all, it's Luke 8, 48. We're going to read it in the New King James. And then again, I want you to see it in the Amplified Bible. Luke 8, 48. Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Look at the Amplified. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your confidence, your trust in me has made you well. Go, enter into peace, untroubled, undisturbed, well-being. She was already healed when Jesus told her to be of good cheer. If you read it, just look one verse before that. In verse number 47, it says that she received her healing. So she was already healed before he said, be of good cheer. Jesus is telling her to enter into his place of peace. He's telling her to be untroubled in spite of the wiles, in spite of the snares of the enemy, to be untroubled and to be untroubled by being in good cheer. Her faith had made her well, but it is her choice, her decision to live in good cheer, which, by the way, is the opposite of the natural and carnal response to the world. But her choice, her decision to live in good cheer ushers her into that place of undisturbed rest in Jesus, which is beyond the enemy's reach. It's beyond his lies and his disruptive fears that he will try to place in our minds and in our souls. Be of good cheer. We also learn the benefits of good cheer from the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the Lord says, be of good cheer to Paul at the very time when the Jews are plotting to take Paul's life. The Lord's encouragement to Paul to be of good cheer comes with both a promise. When he says, be of good cheer, it comes with a promise. We'll see in a moment. It comes with a promise for a future, but it also comes with a vision. It comes with a vision of what that future plan is that the Lord has and what it looks like. So let's look at that in Acts chapter 23, verse 11. But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so must you also bear witness at Rome. Operate in his good cheer. Operate in his good cheer. And you're going to find and you're going to experience all that he has for you. Operate in his good cheer and you're going to experience the assurance that Jesus has a specific plan for your life. And it's a good plan. And it's a plan that brings glory to the name of Jesus. Be of good cheer and expect, this is what we read from this, be of good cheer and expect the Holy Spirit to show you things to come in your life, to show you his plans for your life. This is what it's about. It's about his promise of protection over you so that you can fulfill, that you can do all of the things, accomplish all of the plans that he has prepared already for your life to glorify him. I know for me personally, it's when I am operating in good cheer, when I'm operating in his good cheer, regardless of the circumstances, when I operate in good cheer, that's when I'm able to see and to understand the things of the spiritual realm. If you want to see a clearer vision of what's happening in the spiritual realm, operate in good cheer. It's a choice. It's a decision that we have to make. We have his joy. We have all of his promise, good cheer. It is already in here. It's our choice. We have to make that decision. And in fact, when we just read that, I don't have this verse right because I just thought of this now, but in that verse we just read, where that example I just gave you, where I said, expect the Holy Spirit to show you things to come. You know what? That actually comes from John chapter 16. I believe it's verse number 13. At the end of that verse, it says, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. That's in John chapter 16. That's how we started this whole thing off. We started in John chapter 16, and at that start of that verse, in verse number 33, Jesus said, I tell you these things so that you will be of good cheer. One of the things that he told us was, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. As we operate in his good cheer, expect, have those assurances that he has a plan for you, a specific plan for you, but also have an expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to show you. He's going to show you the plan, and he will show you the things to come, so you can continue to move in those things. Amen? Amen. John 16, 13. And again, that's the same chapter, and that's part of what Jesus said, these things I have told you. That's awesome. Okay, I want to pause for a moment and take a break, because I want us to just do a quick recap of the things that we've learned so far, because I got more for you. But I want to make sure that we're on the same page with these things that we've already learned about being of good cheer. But before we can do that, I also want to make sure that we understand this one principle about the Word of God. And when I say it, it's going to sound self-evident, but it's one of those things that we don't really think about. If you think about what I'm about to say, it brings a power to your life when you read the Word and when you apply the Word. So here's the principle. Every written Word of God carries within itself his power to fulfill that word. Every written word of God carries within itself his power to fulfill that word. So when Jesus instructs us, as he instructs us to be of good cheer, that's talking about the fullness, all of the many multitude of promises that he has for us to lay hold of. And all of the good word, all the words he has on good cheer, all the words he's speaking about good cheer, carry within themselves all these verses I'm giving you and the ones that are to come. All of these words carry within themselves his power for us to possess all of the things that we're talking about. Operate in good cheer, and we will see all of these things come to pass. So, what have we learned so far about good cheer? Good cheer is our taking his courage so that we can operate in unwavering faith to possess all the promises he has for us, because he has already conquered the world for us and the things of the world. He's conquered those things. Good cheer reveals his nearness to us. Good cheer reveals his nearness and the resulting reality of our deliverances through Jesus Christ. Good cheer brings us to that place, his place of peace, his place of undisturbed rest, where, having already possessed his promises, Satan is no longer able to touch or take those promises away from us. Good cheer. We operate in his good cheer. It is to walk in his protection while at the same time he is showing us his unique and personal plans for each one of our futures. This is what good cheer. You have good cheer in you. Operate in good cheer. The easiest thing in the world is to give ourselves over to gloom, discouragement, hopelessness. But we have his joy within us. Operate, choose, make the decision to be of good cheer, because these are the things that it does for us. And we're going to see more, but we also see that it brings things to the world around us as well. Because there is a secondary part of the definition. There's actually multiple parts of the definition. But there's a secondary part of the definition of good cheer, if you go back to the Greek. Good cheer, to be of good cheer, also means to be bolstered from within. It literally means this: to radiate warm confidence. When I am confident in the promises, when I'm confident in the things that Jesus has said to me, when I am confident, I'm going to act confident, and you will see good cheer. That is the warmth of Jesus Christ emanating from me. Good cheer It is the warmth, the radiant warmth emanating from within inside of us. It is also, good cheer is also when we exude social boldness. Social boldness because that radiant warmth inside of us is stirred up and it is produced from within us by the Holy Spirit that is in us. Because the Holy Spirit that is in us is what produces that radiant warmth, produces that good cheer that we can choose to operate in, we can then have social boldness. We can be sharing these things, and guess what? When you share them, you can do it with warm confidence. When you believe these promises and you speak these things into someone else's life, when you say it with good cheer because you believe it, they will receive it with that warmth because they see, they feel, they are receiving, recipients of that radiant warmth of Jesus Christ that comes from within us. Then, that radiant warmth of Jesus Christ that emanates from us, it then changes. It affects the world that is around us. Let's go back to Christmas songs. Christmas songs that are sung about good cheer. Listen, the truth of the matter is, Christmas songs sung about good cheer leave the world at large disappointed. Because they're going to sing about good cheer, and they'll probably even sing about good cheer in relation to Jesus Christ. But guess what? They're not going to experience that reality of the good cheer in the world and the rush of the world at Christmas time. And all that does is leave them more vulnerable to their own doubts about the reality of Christ in Christmas. But they will see and experience the radiant warmth and love of Jesus Christ in you and I when we choose to live our lives in good cheer regardless of the circumstances. They will respond. They will see and feel that radiant warmth of Jesus inside of us. Choose to be of good cheer. Make that our daily choice. So let's dig a little bit deeper into the definition of good cheer. Because the Greek word that we see as good cheer, it is synonymous. Now, that means it is tied to, it is the same. It's synonymous with another Greek word, and that Greek word, which I'm not going to try to pronounce for you, but that Greek word talks about cheerfulness. Cheerfulness that comes from a heart that is walking in the mercy of Jesus Christ. So think about this for a second. Because that kind of cheerfulness that's talked about, that kind of cheerfulness is only possible as a result of guilt being removed through Jesus Christ. To have a soul that is walking in the mercy of Jesus Christ can only happen when a soul has the guilt removed through Jesus Christ. And that's part of good cheer. We see that in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 2. Matthew 9, 2. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Jesus is in that moment, in that verse. Jesus is speaking his good cheer into that man. It is a cheerfulness that comes. It's a cheerfulness that is a result of a soul. It's a result of a heart that is free of all. It's free. It's at liberty from the distresses that come, from the destroying of the soul that comes as an effect of sin in our lives. So as we emanate, or as we have that social boldness, as we exude that social boldness to the world around us because of that radiant, that which is radiant warmth within us, it impacts and it touches the world that is around us. And it shows, it changes the hearts of the people that are around us as well. That's Matthew chapter 9, verse number 2. And when that happens, the world itself, when the world sees us with that good cheer, the world itself then is going to clamor for the gifts of Jesus Christ. And specifically, that's my tie going off again. Can you hear that? Then the world itself is going to clamor for the gift of Jesus Christ and his salvation in their lives. That is saying Merry Christmas. That's what Merry Christmas is about. In King James, we see once again another usage of this phrase, be of good cheer. In King James, we see it being used when Paul is a prisoner. And as a prisoner, he's being taken to Rome. And it just so happens that the ship that Paul is on encounters this horrific storm. And it's a storm that lasts many days. And because it lasts so many days, ultimately the hope that is in the hearts of men, the hope that is in the hearts of flesh, gives way. And there's no more hope. We read that in Acts 27, verse number 20. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, that's a tough storm. Neither sun nor stars appears for many days. And no small tempest beat on us. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But then Paul stands up amidst all of these hopeless men. Paul stands up and he boldly speaks these words in verses 22 through 25. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer. He's talking to men who have lost all hope. Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. Paul, in a moment of great need for himself and all of these men, gets a word from God. And it's a word that promises life, and it's a word that promises deliverance for all. That is a word, that is a good word of good cheer. 276 men that were on that ship, their lives were spared because the man of God was on that ship. And because the man of God received the word of God, and the man of God then boldly spoke that word of God for all to hear. And he encouraged them with the words, be of good cheer. This is what good cheer is all about. Good cheer is about knowing the promises of Jesus Christ and then speaking his word into every hopeless situation. Your hopeless situations and the hopeless situations of the people that are around you in your life. We've already seen his power in his written word. But now in this, we're seeing his power in the specific and the personal word that God is speaking from his spirit into the spirit of Paul. So this is what's true for us. As we receive his word from his spirit into our spirit, we can be of good cheer, regardless of what's taking place, regardless of the world around us. And then we can also impart that word, and we can speak that word to others, giving them that word of hope, filling them with good cheer in their hopeless situations. We need to be the Paul. Paul to the people that are around us. Paul for the people that are around you that are in hopeless situations and they need good cheer. And even if you're going through a struggle in your own personal life, we can still choose to be of good cheer, because when they see that good cheer, all of these promises I've already spoken of, this is what they're going to see, receive. They're going to see it evidenced in your life, and they're going to receive it and know it and be impacted by the radiant warmth of Jesus Christ that exudes from you because you chose to be of good cheer. Now, there's one final observation I want to make this morning, and it's an observation that takes us. It leads us into next week and next week's message. And next week's message is speaking specifically about that joy. I said good cheer is reminiscent of the joy that we see again and again throughout the story, throughout the accounts of Jesus' birth. So I want to make one final observation that's going to take us and talk about that joy of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now in that word that we see, that word for good cheer, again, there's a lot of depth of definition just in that word that we see as those two words, good cheer. And In that word, there is yet another Greek word. Now, it's not synonymous with this Greek word, but it's associated with this Greek word. And that Greek word denotes a happy, glad, cheerful state of mind. It is that state of mind and that gladness. Think about this. It is that very state of mind, that cheerful state of mind and that gladness, that is what the word itself uses to describe to us Jesus Christ. Look at this in Hebrews. Did I tell you to change? Okay, thank you. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 9. I want you to see this in the Amplified Bible. Hebrews 1, 9. You have loved, speaking about Jesus, you have loved righteousness. You've delighted in integrity, virtue, and uprightness, in purpose, thought, and action. And you have hated lawlessness, injustice, and inequity. Therefore, God, even your God, Godhead, has anointed you with the oil of exuberant joy and gladness above and beyond your companions. Think about this. Jesus is the Word. And this is the Word describing Jesus to us. This is how Jesus himself wants us to see him. He wants us to see us this way. Jesus in this world was and is the anointed oil of gladness and exuberant joy above all other men. This is what we are supposed to be. This is how we should be portraying Jesus Christ to the world always. But it certainly is how we should be portraying Jesus Christ during this Christmas season as we operate in good cheer. Radiate. Radiate the joy of His good cheer to your friends, to your family, to the people in the world that are around you. Radiate the joy of His good cheer. And what's going to happen? It's going to turn out to be the most wonderful time of the year for them, because they'll be able to receive His good cheer. And it's His good cheer that is only possible, and resulting because of guilt that has been removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what they're clamoring for. And as we operate in good cheer and emanate that good cheer, they're going to have, it's the most wonderful time of the year. That is Merry Christmas to all. So next week we're going to look and we're going to see this good cheer. We're going to see how it is exemplified in all the times that joy is mentioned from all those people I already talked about. So we'll do that next Sunday. Jesus, we thank you and praise you that your good cheer is already in us. And we make the choice, we make the decision today to operate in your good cheer. We want to exude that social boldness to present your word and the truth of your word. We want that warm, radiant confidence to come from us as the world sees your good cheer through us. For we praise you and thank you. We glorify you in everything that we've received from you. We love you, Jesus, and we love the love that you pour out to us every day. We make the choice to operate in your good cheer, to your glory, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close in praise and worship.